Hallelujah. Let's all stand to this morning. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to go before the Lord in prayer this morning for this service. Amen. We also want to pray for I had a thought and it went away. So we're going to pray for the unspoken requests. Amen. Amen. Anyone got a need that you want to indicate by a lifted hand in the house? Look around you, look for a hand. Amen. Let's call on their names before the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness, your blessings, your grace, Lord Jesus, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would minister in this house, those who are here in person, those who are worshiping online, God. We pray, God, that Jesus, you would have your way in this house, anoint every heart that is in this place. You saw the needs lifted, indicated by a lifted hand, God. I pray, minister, God, to those needs, Lord Jesus, and situations and circumstances. God, we pray, Lord Jesus, for the town of Allen, Texas, Lord God, with the atrocities that happened yesterday. God, I pray you bring comfort, Lord Jesus, and strength, Lord God, to that community, Lord Jesus, I pray, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, God, for our Janesville daughter work that is having their kickoff service, open house this evening or this afternoon, God. Pray, anoint that place that it would be filled with your spirit, God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We're anticipating great things, Lord, here this morning. Minister to our every need, God. Anoint the preaching of your word this morning, God. We ask all of this. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Just want to welcome all of you here. This is your first time worshiping with us here at Calvary Gospel. So thankful that you chose to join us. If you came in, you should have been contacted and steered toward the kiosk. If you haven't, head back there after church. Just a few points of information that we'd like to gather. We got a small gift for you. If you're here online, you can head to the bit.ly link that you see on your screen right now. Just a few points of information. We want to connect with you. Amen. We have many options to give. There's a plexiglass box out in the at the kiosk. You can mail it in. Go to our website, give right on the church app, church center app, and you will be blessed as you worship with your giving. A couple announcements. This Sunday, today, in our 10 o'clock hour, we started our new Elements class rotation. And if you're new to Calvary Gospel or interested in becoming more grounded in biblical doctrine, we invite you to participate in those classes. They take place on Sunday mornings during 10 a.m. It's built around four modules, each containing six lessons, and we'd love to study with you. And our next session, like I said, next six-week rotation started today, but it's not too late. If you did not get into that class, weren't here, forgot about it, didn't hear about it till just now, I want to encourage you next Sunday, come at 10 a.m., and our ushers could direct you to the appropriate Elements class. This Friday, May 12th, we've got all church prayer at 7 p.m. right here in the main sanctuary. Don't want to miss that. And then next Sunday is Mother's Day. Good job, all you men who said Mother's Day. You remembered. Praise God for that. Come expecting a great thing. We're going to have our classes like normal at 10 a.m. And then in our 11 a.m. worship service, we're going to be celebrating moms. There's going to be drawings for floral baskets. And so as you come in, stop by the kiosk. Make sure you get your name into that drawing. There's going to be a couple of photo booths. There's also going to be a new thing this year, a floral market, and they'll talk about that next Sunday, but that's exciting stuff coming up. And so we're going to celebrate mom next Sunday. Amen? Amen. So bring your mom if she's still living. Come with your kids. Kids, celebrate mom. And you see some of the pictures of our Calvary Gospel moms up there. We're so thankful for our moms here at Calvary Gospel. Amen. We're going to celebrate you next Sunday. Amen. With that, would you stand with me? We are going to go to the Lord in worship now as our worship team starts. Amen. High five somebody, and then we'll start worshiping.
I have a voice of the shore. I trust the power of the word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren waste, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the river, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you made. There isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart. Here I will lift my arms. It's time to sink into the night. My praise will call the sun to rise. Declare the battle's won. Declare.
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than this.
awesome in power, our God.
Our God.
Our God.
Sing our God.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. What are you turning? Darkness, you shine.
Out of the ashes, we rise.
Out of the ashes, we rise. There's no one like
you. No one like you.
None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power.
Jesus, you are here.
burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome.
Yes, he has overcome.
We will not be shaken.
We will not be moved.
Jesus, you are here.
Overcome, we will not be shaken, we will not be moved.
Jesus, you are here.
Lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness.
Lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out.
Shaken in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out.
I will live, I will not die.
The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name.
Shaken in the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
Shout it out, shout it out.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness,
lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out.
I will live,
I will.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It is such an awesome, awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful week and weekend that we're having. And I'm just so thankful to be here. I want to thank our Sunday school team for a great job last Sunday at our kids' crusade. We had a great time. And I want to thank Brother Dan Powell for speaking on Wednesday evening. And you can be seated this morning. And we are having our first kickoff service in Janesville today at 2 o'clock. So my wife and I will be leaving here pretty sharply after the conclusion of this service and driving down to Janesville. And we'll be starting and helping them kick off their first service in their new building. We closed on the building on Monday. And we're excited about what God is doing. And Brother Ben Smith, their team is all down there. I want to thank all of those that went down this week to help get their building ready for this weekend. It's going to be kind of a transitional service. So Father Earl, that was the pastor of the church, some of you may not know, but maybe not have heard this, but they closed their assembly and they called up Brother Ben and said, hey, are you looking for a building? We've been renting a building down there in Janesville. And they made us an incredible offer on the building. $54,000 was what it amounted to with the survey and the closing costs and all of that. A fully furnished church, coffee pot, plates, napkins. I mean, I'm talking, it's like they moved out, we moved in. They had a sound system sitting up in the balcony that had never been out of the box. They didn't even know how to run it. Their congregation was a very aging congregation. And Pastor Earl, Father Earl, he just said, I just get up and talk and everybody listens. And we don't have any of that sound or any fancy overhead or anything like that. So I want to thank Brother Jerry. I know he was down there helping them get a lot of that connected and put together this past week. My wife and I have selected for our spring vacation last week and then this week. Many of you know my wife's parents have both recently passed, and they had a farm that they lived on since 1946. How many of you were here in 1946? Seth? 1946. So, but they accumulated a lot of stuff. If you know anything about farmers, they don't throw anything away. And farmers that go through the Depression or live through the Depression even hold on to things like old milk jugs and old baling twine. And so we have been working, trying to take and get things in somewhat of an order. And so we'll be there quite a bit this next week, off and on. And thank you for being patient and understanding. And then also after this next week, we'll be heading up to Shawano, up to our church camp. And by the way, if you're going to be going to family camp or staying in a camp or anything, enrollment is open at the camp. So you can go on the district website and you can fight your way through that. And, you know, it's nice sometimes to have the electronic amenities where you just sign up for something online. But if it doesn't work, sometimes it's just like you can't find a big enough hammer. But we're going to talk about that this morning. We've been talking about triggers that lead to negative mindsets. Now, we started part one of this. It's been a few weeks back when we started part one of this. So we're going to review just a short time, and then we're going to get right into some of these triggers. We've been reading from our series passage. We've been talking about mental health issues for a bit here. But we've been reading from Romans 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul as he's writing to the church in Rome. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I've had a lot of conversations over the last few months since we've been in this series. I think we started this back in March. And as we've been talking about the mind and the power of our thoughts. And I was talking with a brother this past week, and I said, you know, literally everything you do and everything you say begins with a thought. It begins in your mind. We think about our personalities. We were talking, laughing about what caused us to fall in love with our spouses. And we like to look at all of the outside things, the looks and the shapes and all of that stuff. But the bottom line is your brain fell in love with her brain. Think about that. That's kind of weird, isn't it? When you think that way, but you're probably thinking right now, whether you agree or disagree, or you're probably thinking right now of what you're going to eat when you get out of here, and our brains, our thoughts control everything we do. My hand just moves around when I talk. I don't know that if I tied my hand behind my back, I probably wouldn't be able to preach. But we laugh about some of these things, but everything we do is based upon thought patterns. God created us physically. That's what we all see here today. I thank Brother Rico last week for sitting on the front row all the time. So I said, I hope it's okay that you're up here, Brother Larry. The front row gets picked on a lot, but or not really picked on, but used a lot. And there's no young people sitting on the front, and we don't have anybody over here. So it's either Rico or Pastor Phil. But when I look at Rico, my brain, my eyes don't know who Rico is. My ears don't understand. They just hear sounds. It's my brain that has made the connections deep within the thought processes of our minds. We make the connections that when I see this man sitting over here, I recognize him as Phil Demos. I recognize Rico as Rico Farrell, Julia, Julie, Kim. I recognize them because my brain at one point in time was going through a learning process to where I began to learn their names and I began to recognize their face with a name. I began to put that together. That's how we learn. We learn life. Our brain works on repetition. It has to have repetitive motions, repetitive thoughts going through our brains. That's why when the psalmist wrote, as a man thinketh, so is he, that little bitty verse is extremely powerful, potent piece of information. So by the renewing of your mind, everything in life, you want to change your life, it has to start with a change in your mind. You have to get fed up with things in your mind to where enough's enough. I'm done fighting this. I'm going to figure out a way to work through this. It starts with thought processes. And our world today is so messed up in thought processes. And so by the testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now we talked about triggers that lead to a negative mindset. What is being triggered look like? Now we talked a little bit about husbands and wives where that I can promise you I know the exact right words to say to get my sweet little mild-mannered wife really keyed up and torqued off at me. And I'm going to guess that as a wife, you know exactly what to say to get that handsome man sitting next to you. Brothers and sisters, you know exactly. I'm sure Kate Rivas knows exactly what to say to older brother Ryan to get him aggravated. Am I right, Kate? Yes, you know how to trigger Ryan. And Ryan, that sweet, young, beautiful lady sitting next to you, if you were honest today, I don't want you to get in your first fight, but if you were honest today, there are some things that she can say that you're like, oh no, here we go. You see, being triggered can take on many forms. Some are pretty easy to pick out and identify. Somebody comes up to you, gets right in their face, and they just start blasting at. That's a pretty easy trigger to identify. But some people are very subtle. The Bible says in Genesis that the Satan, he was more subtle. He was a little more sneaky than all the other beasts of the field. I mean, you can tell when a hippopotamus comes up to you. You can't miss a rhinoceros or a bull elephant, but a snake is a little bit more easy. So the Satan took on the form of a snake, not a bull elephant. There's a reason why. It's safe to assume that any time that we're feeling a negative emotion, we talked about a lie-based belief system that society has bought into to where that truth can vary quite a bit. Now there's truth, there's factual truth. Gravity is one of those. But how you perceive truth in your life and how I perceive truth in my life based upon situations that we go through, everybody looks at it differently. That's why we have conflict in the world today. That's why we trigger one another. Because I'm thinking one way, you're thinking another. So most negativity in our thought patterns are usually not based on fact or on truth. We have this conflict going on in our world. And we have all kinds, we have multiple conflicts going on in our world. And people today are just making the assumption, because if you're a Christian, then you have to be this way, or you're that way, or you're bigoted, or you. People just jump to conclusions based upon basically a lie-based belief system, something they've just been told over and over and over. If you're told something over and over and over and over again, doesn't necessarily make it right or true. But we bought into that, where that you can repeat a lie, our minds run away with our imaginations. And most negative emotions that we feel are never biblically acceptable. Paul writes to us in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything. That is really hard. I'm telling you, that is a hard statement to swallow. But in every situation, he didn't say some situations, he didn't say in certain situations, he didn't put any exclusions in. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we talk about triggers. What are some of the things that trigger us? Now, I'm not talking about driving down the belt line here today and somebody cuts you off. When you're in that express lane now and somebody's doing 45 and they're pulling a trailer and they're driving a truck, and the sign says, no trucks, no trailers, and you got to go speed limit. That's not the kind of trigger I'm talking about. Some of that is just patience. We live in a lawsuit happy culture. Everybody is suing everybody. I don't like what you said. My chicken nuggets weren't warm enough or weren't cold, or my barbecue sauce wasn't. I mean, people are suing pizza companies because the pizza they put in the oven and pulled out didn't look like the one on the package. We live in a lawsuit happy culture, and the reason why we have become this way is because we have allowed the number one trigger of society to become part of our everyday life, and that is the trigger of offense. And it's probably going to get real quiet in here. Because if someone or anyone remotely thinks you said something to minimize their worth, you are looking for a fight. Conflict is everywhere. It's everywhere. You can't have, families can no longer get together at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Our family, I cannot get together with my wife's family because certain nephews will not sit down at the same table with other nephews because of a conflict over an offense. This is the world we live in. Now, Jesus, when he was here, and he addressed this, he talked a lot about offenses. I'm not going to get into everything that Jesus said about offenses, but I'm going to sum it up in this very simple statement. You will get offended. Someone will offend you. Get over yourself. That's what he pretty much said. Now, perhaps we have noticed this in ourselves as well, that offenses build fences. Have you ever noticed if you offend someone, the first thing they do is they put up a fence? They build a wall. You stay over there, I'll stay over here. But you see, forgiveness and believing the best break those walls down. If we're going to be the light and the shining example to our world on how to live our lives and how to get along, we have to be able to handle getting offended. I've preached my guts out. I've preached my brains out. I've preached my heart out, only to have people come up afterwards and pinch me in the cheek and say, "Do you always have to get so carried away?" I could get really offended by some of you. And I could start building walls. But you know what? I can't do that. Because I'm sure some of the things I say to you may be offensive to you. If it's scriptural, you're going to have a problem with that. But sometimes as pastors, you could talk to all of our pastors. Sometimes we just say things. Things come out. They don't come out right. It don't always come out the way that we write it down or think it through. You get up here and God's flowing and the anointing and emotions, and you just say stuff sometimes. And you're like, oops, yeah, that didn't quite come out the way I had thought. But you see, Proverbs 19:1. If you read the book of Proverbs, and you should read a chapter, if you could read a chapter every day, you'll read it every month. And you just read it again. And you, when you're done, you read it again so that this word is ingrained in your mind and in your thought process. Proverbs 19, it says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Sometimes you just got to let things go. It doesn't matter. Offenses are let go by one process, and that is forgiveness. Offenses are let go with forgiveness and trusting that God has our back. It is so freeing to be able to let go of offenses and let go of worrying about self, because offenses are deeply rooted in self, in selfishness. It's all about me. People, we live in a world today that it's all about what I want. This is how I want to be addressed. This is how I want to be called. This is how I want to be treated. Now, when I said that offenses are let go with forgiveness, forgiveness goes along with apologizing, doesn't it? Basically, when you ask the Lord to forgive you for something, you are saying, Lord, I'm sorry for what I have done. Please forgive me, and I will seek and try my hardest not to make that mistake again. So I have been in meetings with people that have had conflict, and one member of the body is going to apologize to another member of the body. And instead of things getting better, things got worse. Growing up, you probably remember your mom and dad, if you got into a fight with your sibling, making you apologize. How many of you really seriously wanted to apologize to your brother or sister because they took your favorite candy bar and they threw it out the window of the car? You have to apologize, and it's one of those, I'm sorry. See, that's where your mind can be thinking one thing and you're saying another thing. You see, so we're going to talk a little bit here about how not to apologize. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Wow. Paul really, some of these churches must have been messed up for him to write some of the stuff that he wrote. But I'm glad he did, because sometimes we get messed up, don't we? And we need to hear this. It's not just the church at Philippi that has problems with this. Madison has problems with this. Calvary Gospel has problems with this. People in this section have problems with this. And this section and this. People that aren't in here that should be in here have problems with this. We all have problems with this. We all have conflict with one another at times. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility. Oh, man. That's a hard word to swallow sometimes. Humility. In humility, value others. Are you kidding me? Above yourselves. What Paul is saying here is, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, because that's what our heart, that's what our mind is thinking. But he says, rather do it in humility. Value your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your boss or that person that you have conflict with above yourself. So apologizing, how do we apologize, is vitally important when it comes to dealing with offenses. It can heal a broken relationship, or it can wound more deeply. A good apology can reconnect you with someone to eliminate bad feelings, and it can restore loving emotions. It can increase respect, and it can drive out emotional pain and suffering and struggle. And apologizing in a life-giving way prioritizes the Lord's second greatest commandment, and found in Matthew 22:39, where it says to love your neighbor as yourself. And then some crackpot smart aleck had to say, who is my neighbor? And Jesus went into the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. A bad apology, on the other hand, can be disastrous. And it can lead to even greater hurt, greater offense, and it can linger for years, and it can last a lifetime. I have relatives that on their deathbed had issues with other relatives, and they never resolved it for decades. You go to family reunions, and one family would never talk to the other family, and nobody really ever knew why. This was, someone was offended, and they let that offense become part of them, and it becomes part of your character. It becomes who you are. And because you're unwilling to forgive someone, it eats at you. And it feeds out of you into your children. And it goes from your children. It could go from generation to generation to generation. That's why you have the Hatfields and the McCoys. Everybody laughs because you know. You heard about. It can happen. So, let's cover how not to apologize. First is don't lead into the conflict by saying, I'm sorry you were hurt. Just listen to me. Or I'm sorry that upset you. Because what can happen is just as Satan was more subtle than any beast of the field, in our subtle way of apologizing, we can actually, because we have pride and we don't want to admit that we actually offended someone, in a subtle way, we shift the blame back onto the person that we just offended, thus avoiding any responsibility for any pain that we caused. And society today is excellent at doing this. Shifting the blame. It's not my fault. No. You just took it wrong. It doesn't matter. A simple, I'm sorry that I hurt you. I had no intentions I didn't intend on doing this. It just come out wrong. I'm sorry. Is much better and much more humble in our nature. Even if you didn't mean to hurt the other person or you aren't at fault, that is not the point. The point is that the other person was hurt, and we must take responsibility for the other person's emotional pain. And this aligns with Paul again talking to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, which he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Next very important point here is don't explain your position without apologizing. And you have to understand something. An explanation is not an apology. I've had a lot of people explain to me why they did what they did or said what they said, but never apologized for doing or saying. They just gave an explanation. So understand, this happens so very, very many times. People feel that by explaining themselves that they are apologizing. Well, there may be reasons why you did what you did or said something. Giving an explanation why something happened rather than apologizing is just another way of not taking responsibility for your part in whatever conflict that you are involved in. And please listen here. If you follow these simple steps, it will help all of us in all of those various things that trigger us in life. Don't ever say, I've heard this, I'm sorry, but. You ever had someone say that to you? Well, I'm really sorry, but, okay. Whatever follows the word but. I didn't mean to hurt you, but. I was just joking, but. You're too sensitive, but you're always overreact, but you know you started it. All of those phrases totally invalidates your apology. Once again, you're not taking responsibility, and the other person won't feel apologized to or valued. The kind of apology, this kind of apology will not bring about a good result or a solution to the problem. Honoring the other person by apologizing well isn't always an easy thing to do. It's not always easy to sit across from someone in a conflict and say, you know what, I am really sorry that I offended you. You see, our world today is seeking to solve. Listen, our world today, and this happens to us because we live in this world. And as much as I would like to think that I live my life every day as close to biblical principles as I can, I will be here honest and tell you, I try, but sometimes I just fall short. We do our best. We start out in the morning with good intentions. And it doesn't always end up that way by time supper rolls around. But our world today, and we live in this same world, is seeking to solve all of its problems based upon emotional responses. And emotional responses don't bring about principled results. They bring about emotional results. It's like trying to put a fire out by pouring more gasoline on it. Now, reading again in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, the writer says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. And I have more today. We're going to stop at this point. But I want to just say this as we close this out. Our musicians can come. We can stand. I would say this. I've seen more people leave church and walk away from God because they're offended about something. I've seen more conflicts in church probably by people not knowing how to deal with offense. It's not always easy because sometimes there's two people, sometimes there's three people, sometimes there's four people, sometimes there's families, ministries. It's hard because everybody looks at it differently. But I would just say this, that over my years of experience, which I have not had near as many as some of you. And I think if I could ask our elder, Brother Rossing, which is probably Brother Rossing, Brother Thorpe, a couple of our older elders, Brother Tom Nelson. Good to see you this morning, Brother Tom. Awesome. Sister Weekly, my mom back there, some of our older saints. If you have problems asking others to forgive you for your trespasses or offenses, you probably have the same problem when it comes to asking God to forgive you for your sins or your trespasses against Him. Because Sister Julia, we're creatures of habit. We do things based off of habit and repetition. And if we always have an offense against a brother or sister, we probably have an issue with forgiveness with God. The reason I say that is because if you get to a point in offense to where that you are building fences and building walls, and you're trash talking and speaking bad about someone that offended you, you're not living biblical principle anyway. So that lets me believe that you have a problem with forgiveness with God as well. We're going to continue this. Our next point, we're going to talk about trigger number two is shame. I think this is something that needs to be addressed, because some of these triggers, some of these things that affect us, they affect us in our minds and they affect us in our hearts and they affect our relationship with one another and they affect our relationship with God. I want to be the best I can be. I try. Some days, Brother Dan, I go to bed at night and I just go to bed frustrated because you're like, Lord, I had a really good day until. Can you relate to that today? I want to be the best. What was the military was be all you can be in the Army? I want to be all I can be. I want to do it right. And that's a struggle. There's all of these things that trigger us, that push our buttons. And it all falls down, so much of it, to just simple forgiveness, repentance, saying, Lord, I've got an issue and I cannot get myself through it. I'm going to have you. Some of us have been hurt by spouses and relationships and family and our moms and our dads, and we could go on and on and on about all of the pain and the hurt. It all has to start with forgiveness. It all has to start with forgiveness. And not just once. It's an everyday process. Every day, Brother Dan. Every day we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to let this offense build up in me. I didn't mean for it to get this far. I didn't mean to say what I said or do what I did. And we have to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. So this morning, as we close out this service, perhaps you're here and you're struggling because maybe you offended someone or maybe someone offended you. Maybe there's a struggle in your marriage, in your family, your relationship with your children, a neighbor, whoever it may be. Maybe you're having a struggle with God because you feel like God has let you down. I've had to have those conversations. Lord, forgive me for feeling this way. But it all starts with forgiveness. So as our worship team begins to sing, I just want to invite you to come down to this altar this morning. Maybe if you don't feel comfortable coming to the altar, spend some time where you're at praying. Say, Lord, I need help. I can't fight this on my own. God bless you this morning.
All about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the hands, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the hands, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the hands, Jesus be the center.
beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around church. Jesus, be the center of your church. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. From my heart to the head, Jesus, be the center. All about you, yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. All about you, yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. All about you. Yes, it's all about you.
As we close out this morning, I just want to say this one little thing. I have found that the number one reason why so many Christians never fulfill their purpose or fulfill the will of God in their life is because they're stopped by offense. Offense stops so many things. We get offended in ministry. We get offended at a brother or sister. We get offended at the pastor. We get offended. And we stop. We withdraw. We pull out. I'll show them. Oh, boy. Yeah, go ahead. It's God that you're fighting a battle with. Jesus talks in Matthew. He goes over this in great detail. And he puts the problem right back. The monkey goes right back on your back. So get over it. Get over yourself. Is a lost soul worth more than your offense? Think about that. Maybe God has a whole congregation waiting for you to pastor because you can't get over this hurdle of offense right here. God's just like puts up a roadblock, says, nope, you're not going to go any further until you learn how to forgive and until you learn how to repent. So just a thought. Take it with you. Think about that. God bless you. Remember to pray for Janesville today, their first service. We will be back here Wednesday evening. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. So I'm excited. Sister Brittany Waters is going to be speaking next Sunday. So we're excited about that. God bless you. Enjoy the beautiful week.